While we all expect the truth, when that truth will be, let's call it an inconvenience, there are those who will try to hide it or prevent access to it, usually with lies and deception. This can happen in business, politics, utility companies, elsewhere at national, worldwide, even very local levels. The reassuring reality is that even within those places where the truth is trying to be hidden, there are those who bravely will step forward to reveal it. They're known as whistleblowers. These are the men and women who step forward in spite of the pressure, even threats that they face. With that in mind, we recently saw an example of this level of this pressure as a person who stepped forward to reveal negligence at Boeing that they were committing. That person took their own life recently. With us now to discuss the role of the whistleblower, their importance, along with the protection that they need to receive, is a founding partner of the law firm Cohn, Cohn & Colapinto, along with the founder of the National Whistleblower Center, also author of the book Rules for Whistleblowers, A Handbook for Doing What's Right. Mr. Steve Kerwin, how are you today, sir?
Great, and thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, thank you for the encouragement, the empowerment that you are giving a valuable segment of our society which holds true to truth, whistleblowers.org, and Mr. Cohn's website for his legal firm, KKC.com. Let's look at the story of the individual that took his life, John Barnett. He had been there at Boeing for three decades. He saw things that were wrong, and you would think, okay, I'm going to step forward, tell the truth, and things get better. It didn't for Mr. Barnett, obviously. He got through a lot of pressure, a lot of hate, a lot of attacks, and almost in a PTSD frame of mind took his own life recently. Is that something typically faced by whistleblowers?
No, I mean, a whistleblower committing suicide is almost unheard of. In fact, this is one of the only I know of. But suffering from PTSD and severe trauma is typical. And, you know, I've been representing whistleblowers for 40 years, and what's amazing is when they come into my office, it's when they're in the middle of their crises. And that can sometimes play to the stereotype of a whistleblower. It's a very traumatic episode when you're losing your career, losing your income, colleagues at work aren't talking to you, you feel you're really under threat. It's a true David and Goliath. I mean, this guy, one worker against Boeing, which within that community in that area in Seattle is like the most powerful company, or one of them has a tradition. And I've seen, you know, the whistleblower win their case, reestablish themselves, reintegrate, and become the really great person, the great employee, and the loyal and the smart person they were before they had this crisis. And that's what, and unfortunately, this person's case went on for about 8 years, and it clearly was too much for him. Apparently, he committed suicide in the middle of his deposition. So he was being required, you know, under the stress of a deposition, to relive all of the most painful aspects of his case. So it's committing suicide is highly unusual, but the stress he felt is all too typical.
And maybe on the flip side of that tragic situation, maybe more well known to the person listening to us right now too, can we look at the story of Cassidy Hutchinson? And she came into a situation really not looked at as a threat by those who were trying to hide truth and keep the facts away from people. And she made quite the difference, did she not?
Well, there's no doubt she also fits the category of whistleblower. A whistleblower can be someone who simply testifies truthfully, but doing it in a context where their employer or the power structure for which they've been associated with, in this case, say, the Republican Party, that she was totally loyal to, you know, is hostile to the information she's about to give. So she put loyalty to truth above loyalty to a politician or self-interest. And that is also very typical of a whistleblower. They come in, they can come in through the door as someone who's raised a concern at work. They can come in as someone who knows something bad and wants to expose it. Or they can be just like Cassidy and come in, be thrust into the situation, but do the right thing.
In a workplace, at all levels, all locations, there's always, you go into a lunchroom or the time clock, whatever the case may be, and you always see the posters. If you see a problem, we have an open door policy. Come in, tell us, we'll talk, we'll make things right, blah, blah, blah. Is it always, if you see something wrong, is it always the best way to keep it internal?
No, it's the exact opposite. And it's so deceptive. So we first just published a study. We went through every Sarbanes-Oxley case, which are these are the corporate whistleblower cases, over a 10-year period of time, and found that 92% of the people claiming retaliation had only reported internally. And of the other 8%, only about 3 had just gone to the government, and the others were mixed. They went internal, they went to the government, so it's hard to figure out what triggered the retaliation. But 92% only internally. So you have a 10 times greater likelihood of suffering from retaliation if you do what most normal people do, which is raise concerns with their supervisor or management. And here's why. If what the whistleblower is reporting is correct, then someone up that management chain should get in trouble. Was it a falsified time record? Was it refusal to do the safety checks? So whoever did the misconduct is never going to turn around and say, you know what? I let that Boeing flight go knowing the doors weren't all tied in. I guess I should go to jail. And it's just never happening. Instead, it's shoot the messenger. Now, and that's what you see. So in many ways, the more important the whistleblowing, the more significant of the violations you're reporting, the higher likelihood, if the company knows who you are, you will be smashed. Now take it to the other side. You blow the whistle, but everyone knows, you know, you just kind of misread the book. You know, you thought the standard was 10, but it really is 20. So, you know, thank you so much for raising this concern. You know, we're really glad. We love whistleblowers because that what they raised didn't impact anybody. That's what you're seeing. So the best whistleblowing is the confidential and anonymous processes that are available in many instances under current law.
Talking with Steve Cohn, who is the founder of the National Whistleblowers Center, also founding partner with law firm Cohn Cohn Colapinto, author of the book Rules for Whistleblowers, a handbook for doing what's right, whistleblowers.org, kkc.com. For Mr. Cohn's legal firm, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. The idea of anonymity, is it more challenging to be believed if you're not putting a name to the information?
Okay, so there's two ways of doing it. The first way is an anonymous tip on some type of hotline. Those usually go nowhere. A lot of law enforcement agencies pay very little heed to it. But even if what you're reporting looks good, how do you follow up with the whistleblower? How do you gather more information? How do you check the facts? So that's a tough road. A lot of people do it. The other ways under these new laws, which was pioneered under the Dodd-Frank Act, which covers all securities and commodities violations, and is being picked up by other agencies now, and it's where to be anonymous, you have to use an attorney, a licensed attorney, as your intermediary. So, and there's been thousands of these cases, by the way, thousands, and almost every whistleblower who comes into our office that's covered under these laws, we use this process. They give us the information. We then review it. We either eliminate stuff that would identify them, or we can mark it on the documents, this will identify the anonymous whistleblower. Then we, the lawyers, submit it. We're an intermediary. Now the government agency, they have someone they can talk to. And we've been able to vet the information to see, you know, is this credible? Is this enough to trigger an investigation or indicate a violation of law? So by putting the lawyer into the, as an intermediary, it helps the government, it helps the police on the one hand, and it really saves the whistleblower because you have someone in your camp and you have someone protecting your confidentiality.
We have to bring things to a close here, but I just wanted to quickly bring in the idea of non-disclosure agreements, NDAs, as they're known. Can you overcome them? I mean, we just saw most recently the Vince McMahon story comes to mind, for example.
Okay, so NDAs that restrict a person's right to report crimes or violations of public health and safety are generally void and unenforceable. The power of the NDA is it scares most people into silence. Who wants to violate a contract and get sued by their employer? So even though a company may know they're wrong or unenforceable, they're still going to use them because they work. Bottom line, they can be challenged. They can be considered an obstruction of justice. And we are not afraid of NDA.
As Mr. Cohn stated, when you have the truth, you do have the empowerment. You also have laws behind you, Dodd-Frank Act, False Claims Act, among others, that give you the empowerment you need to step forward through proper and effective ways with an attorney if you want to stay anonymous, outside of the place of employment where obviously they're going to have their priorities and you're not part of them. But there are ways to right the wrongs based upon what you know when you step forward and come up with the truth. You learn more about this idea in Mr. Cohn's book, Rules for Whistleblowers, a handbook for doing what's right. If this is applying to something that you're experiencing right now, certainly whistleblowers.org is the website that you have to go to, the website for National Whistleblower Center. And to find out more about the legal services, Mr. Cohn's law firm, Cohn and Colapinto, that website is kkc.com. Steve Cohn, we have a lot of people like to do wrong and a few people that want to do everything they can to make things right. Thank you for empowering those people who want to make things right. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much and have a great day. Take care.